All right, book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 3. Ezra 3. And we'll pick up here at verse 10. Ezra 3 and verse 10. It says, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel." We looked at that last week concerning the those trumpets and cymbals. But what I'd like to make mention now, before we go on concerning this verse, notice the Bible says here, "after the ordinance of David, king of Israel." Okay, so David ordained. God working through David. David ordained. He moved temple worship to like another level with these trumpets, with these cymbals. You know, David, that's the psalmist. You know, all the psalms that he wrote and that we have in the book of Psalms. And so David ordained certain things with temple worship. All right. You kind of wonder if possibly David will again direct this kind of thing again by ordinance in the millennium. And here's why I say that. Take your Bible and go to the book of Ezekiel. David is going to have position in the millennium. Go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. And so, you know, in Ezra, we have all these different things that are foreshadowings of what will take place in the millennial, in the millennium. And so David had ordained certain ways of worship with trumpets and cymbals. And I just wonder if he won't ordain and set up again the same kind of thing in the millennial temple. Because David will have position there in the millennium. Ezekiel 34, look at verse 23. "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." Now listen, if someone tries to say, "well, that's referring to the son of David," but don't say son of David. It said David. All right? And it's not talking about the son of David here. It's not talking about this. It's talking about David. David himself. All right? Take your Bible, go to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, verse 24. Ezekiel 37, verse 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. All right, speaking of David, David and position he has in the millennium. Go to Jeremiah 30, Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah 30 and verse number 8. "For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." And go to Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3 and verse 4. "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." So once again, you see the Bible speaking here of David and position that he will have during the millennial time. All right, so just kind of wonder, if you go back to the book of Ezra now, if David's the one instituted this temple worship, moved it to another level concerning the ordinances of the music there, and I just wonder if he'll do it again. So Ezra 3 and verse 11. "And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Okay, a couple things I want to look at here. Notice that the Bible says they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. The word course in the dictionary means regularity, order, regular succession. So singing by a group should be orderly. It should not be just a disorderly bunch of noise. There should be order to it. Okay? It should follow an established order. Notice what it says. It says, they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Okay? Unity, harmony, and order. Brethren, the things that we should have in a home, in a church, in a business, in anything, in a nation, okay, in singing, if it's going to be something that's going to be pleasant to receive and hear, there needs to be unity, there needs to be harmony, there needs to be order. Singing by course is beautiful. See, what usually separates a choir from a congregation is parts or courses. You take, we sing here. Amen. We sing together. But sometimes, like a choir, see, this is congregational singing. We sing. But a choir will often sing, most of the time, by parts. They're choruses. In fact, you know, if those hymns in there are set up to where, you know, you got the bass or the tenor, the alto, the soprano, and they sing by chorus. They come in with their part, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Just the congregational singing is beautiful, but then also when you have the parts, it's absolutely beautiful. It's wonderful. And singing is supposed to do that kind of thing. Give glory to God. It's something that should be pleasant, but it should be order and have a harmony to it and parts like that. You know, Brother Niels did a good job here teaching us before when we tried to do a choir here some, you know, with different parts. It's funny. It took me a while. I didn't know what he was talking about in following a certain note right there for it. I was following the little stick rather than the note itself. And I got it right most of the time. But there was sometimes doing it that way, I would just miss it. And I was like, man, what happened there? And it cracked him up when he found out what I was doing. Just following the stick when it would go up and down. I got the staff, the stick. I guess the staff, whatever you call it. All right, you musicians, don't you laugh at me. Don't you? But it makes it beautiful. It does. The different parts, the different things right there. It's a blessing. And I guess singing by chorus is beautiful. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. But chorus, by chorus and in order. 1 Corinthians 14. Now, brethren, I'm going to say something. You know, one of the things that will help you in life is always knowing what you can do and what you can't do. Seriously. Brethren, you know, we never help somebody and if we think we can do something we can't do. Right? You know, now congregational singing, that is a blessing, brethren. You're singing out to the Lord. That's what, amen. That's the kind of stuff I think is beautiful to God any and all times. When you have a choir, you got parts, and it's beautiful. But you know what, brethren? What do you do with somebody that can't sing? Now, let's don't kid ourselves, brethren. Not everybody can sing. But not everybody, is different. You take my mama. Bless her heart. She can't carry a tune. She can't. I think my mama's tone deaf. All right? My daddy's not, but I think my mama's absolutely tone deaf. And she can't. Well, my mama knows more than to go and put herself in a choir or put herself to sing. Well, she can't sing, right? And just, you know, and this, that's the way it is sometimes. And brethren, what was, now wouldn't that be something to say, well, oh no, you can't. Well, no, she can't. Ulysses S. Grant, this was totally tone deaf. He said he knew two tunes, I think. One of them was, I forgot, was one we all know, but said, and the other wasn't. And he asked the army band or somebody, maybe he asked them to play a certain song. And they said, General, we just played it. Oh, I mean, this is just totally tone deaf. Just totally tone deaf. And some people like that. You can still sing. Of course we can. But brethren, what I'm saying to you is, brethren, may God help us to always take a right appraisal of ourselves and our abilities. know what that will always help you to do? Keep you from embarrassing yourself. Keep you from and you know what, never tell somebody they can do something they can't do. And you know what? But look here. Let's suppose you want to be able to do something and you can't do it. Well, don't worry about that. You know that preacher on that tape, From Debt to Dignity. You know, honestly, if you've never listened to that thing, you need to get a hold of that and listen to that thing. It is outstanding. But one of the things he said, and he's a black preacher preaching to a black audience, right? And he's getting on them, right? But he said, God's give us all something to win with. He said, God gives us all something to win with. He said, you can make it. And it's the truth. Everybody's got something that they can work with. You say, well, I want it to be something else. Well, pray about it. And if God don't see fit to either give it to you or help you develop it, accept His will in it. Brethren, I've often wished, honestly, that I could draw. That ain't happening. It ain't happening. And, you know, God didn't see fit to give it to me, and it ain't happening. And it's just, there it is, you know. I thought that would be great to be able to, you know, to be able to paint and draw and do stuff like that. I can't do it. That's just the way it is, you know. But I'm just telling you that, brethren, it'll help you in life. And you young folks coming up, don't be one of those people. Listen, don't be one of those people who is intimidated. And because you don't feel good about yourself, you pretend that you can do things that you can't do. It's going to bite you. Because what's going to happen is somebody sometime is going to think you can do what you can't do, and it's going to be put up for shut up time, and you are going to be in a fix. Your dad, didn't some people work for him one time that said they could put up sheetrock, and they could not do it? Well, see, it's just waste everybody's time. It's not good all the way around. All right, look here. 1 Corinthians 14, though, about order. In singing and in everything. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? Let me go back and say this, too. Brethren, don't get me wrong. If somebody can't sing a lick, but they sing to the glory of God, to stood up and sing from their heart, I bless my heart. I'm talking about, brethren, for like a choir where there's parts and they're supposed to be, you know what I'm saying? There's differences in things, but nobody should ever feel like, listen, if that thing comes from the heart, it's a blessing to God, and it'll be a blessing to others. You can count on that. All right, but look here. So verse 7, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? And what Paul's talking about is, look, battle is loud, right? Battle is loud, it's confusing, and most of the time you're not going to hear an order. So they would either take and by trumpet or often by drum, that would signal what to do next, okay? But listen, if the guy sounding the trumpet can't play a trumpet, then he's going to give an uncertain note, uncertain sound. Nobody's going to know what to do because battle is loud and a trumpet would sound and that would let you know what you need to do. You needed to hear the sound of that trumpet. Okay, so verse 9, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Brethren, we lay ourselves open to foolish situations when we put an emphasis on spirituality divorced from truth. Because think about it just a minute. Is there not around a charismatic or Pentecostal church, is there not an aura of spirituality? An aura of like, so if somebody stands up and they're speaking in tongues, which they're not speaking in tongues. But if they think they are, or they stand up and doing this, now watch. Nobody has a clue what's being said. Nobody has a clue. There is no edification. There's no tense what's being said, if anything. But watch this. Wow. A person's holy. Man, they've got something from God. You don't even know what they've got. You can't even understand it. But there's an aura about it. Brother, in Indian tribes before, someone that was just flat, I mean, retarded, right, would often be looked at as touched. Well, we use that phrase, but they would use it like they've been touched by the gods. Well, no, they're off balance. But do you understand? But it's looked at as like you know, that's a yes, sir. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I thought you had your hand up. I thought she was going to give a little comment here to us. But but you know, but that is often looked at as they would look at somebody and they were like, ooh, that's a holy person. Well, no, they got something wrong with them. But think about that. Think about how that kind of thing works. And brethren, same kind of thing. Here, did you know what? Did you know among the Greeks? See, your Bible uses the term devil. We talk of demon possessed, but really it's devil possessed. Your Bible uses the term devil because you know what? Among the Greeks, if you had a demon, that was looked at as a good thing. That was looked at as like you had that was a good thing, not a bad thing. You had something else. Now the Bible shows it for what it is: devils. So what happens is, again, if you put an aura around something spiritual, maybe of God, may not be of God, but there's this aura around it. It's like, whoa, wow. Well, what did he just say? Oh, I don't know. It don't matter. Well, yeah, it does. You don't know what he said. What did he say? I don't know, but man, this is God. Well, did you get instruction? Did you get help? Did it speak to something in your life? No. Well, what happened? Well, felt good. Well, you see, brethren, in the churches that you know that do the snake handling and all. Man, if you ever, brethren, something comes over them people. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their eyes. I've seen the documentaries that have been done on it in books and other form. And very often they won't do it till they pull the guitars out. I'm serious. There's churches up in the mountains, North Carolina, South Carolina. They'd get the music going. And I'm telling you, their eyes have this glazed over look. I am not lying to you. You see, and the eyes get this glazed over look, and they're starting to get it. I mean, they're starting to sweat and everything, and then they'll pull them out. And they'll pull out the rattlesnakes. And brethren, they're the real deal. Nobody's filed them down. Nobody's milked them. Rattlesnakes, copperheads. And brethren, come on now. Brethren, conviction by God about your sin is one thing. Terror from a snake is another. Can you imagine standing in church? And there is this lady standing up there, right? And she's holding a timber rattlesnake wrapped around her neck. Brethren, I'm out that door. You won't be able to find me. Say about me what you want. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And if I'm going to observe it, I'm going to observe it through the window. but now think about that. Somebody says, well, it's got to be God. Hopi Indians would do that. Hopi Indians, pagans, would dance around with snakes in their mouth. I don't mean a thing, but notice they get worked up. So I says, well, they're faking. They ain't faking nothing. It just ain't coming from God, not according to the Bible. Brethren, Clemson University tested, and they strychnine. Those guys were drinking. They would hold flames like from a torch. And those ladies, their hair will fly away from it. Brother, that's a fact. Their hair will fly away from it. It won't burn. Now, think about this. Whoa. Her hair didn't burn. Okay, now, what did it do for you? What did it do for you? What did God point out that you needed? How did that draw you closer to Christ? What did that work for? What did that do for you in your life? well, so come on, how'd it help you? What'd it do? It did a thing for you. Did nothing help you? That thing was just, look here. Brethren, you do not find in the Bible people standing up, showing and demonstrating faith like that. And the thing about it is, it don't always work. These people die. Sometimes, listen, there's something involved, but brethren, there's a workup that gets going on. Brethren, that's the problem. That's the problem today with contemporary Christian music, so-called Christian rock. Brethren, there's a spirit to it that is wrong. Is it spiritual? Yes, but it's the wrong spirit. And it stirs up and it appeals to the flesh and people like, brethren, but it's not having to do with truth. Brethren, if you can have, I've said it before, if you can have Christian rock and roll, you can have Christian whorehouses. Because rock and roll was a term used. The term rock and roll came around before the music. And we won't get into all the, but it was a very vulgar term concerning illicit sexual intercourse. And then when the music came around, Alan Freed said, you know what? It fits. And he gave the music the name of rock and roll. Brethren, that has nothing to do. Listen, if you can have Christian rock and roll, I'm telling you, you can have Christian whorehouses to meet the needs of those that have, you know, needs. It's ridiculous. It is fleshly. It appeals to the flesh. It's not of God. It induces and brings about a wrong spirit. It just does. So watch this. Verse 9. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Brethren, there are churches that used to know better than this, and you are finding the tongues phenomenon creeping in all over places. I'm telling you. So again, if somebody stands up and speaks in tongues, what did that do for you? Not a thing. Nothing. Because not one thing, not one thing. You didn't get anything from it other than like, wow. Why don't I have that? Seriously, why don't I have that? Lord, oh God, give me tongues. God, give me the. You know why? Because it feels like I'm not spiritual. Possibly even not saved. You know what I'm saying? Oh Lord. And then these individuals are looked at. And brethren, they're lying. They're lying. I'm not saying that they're necessarily, I think some are being really deceitful, but some are so bad hoping that they allow themselves to just fall into this. It's not of the Lord. Watch this. Let's go. What? Look here. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. Okay? And none of them is without signification. So look what he just said, verse 10. Many kind of voices in the world. Oh my goodness. There's Swahili. There's Italian. There's English. There's Russian. There's Turk. I mean, my goodness. There's all kinds. And none of them is without signification. The Turkish language means something if you know that language. Arabic means something if you know that language. None of them are without signification. But brethren, gibberish, seriously, or just brethren, that it signifies nothing. Nothing. Not one thing. There's brethren, Acts chapter 2, they were speaking in tongues. Those were known languages. Those were known languages. There, again, what we're going to see, there is no such thing as the unknown tongue. A tongue, a language is unknown if you don't know that language. All right, so let's watch. So all the numbers without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now, what would happen in many churches like this, if you was to go in and say, and somebody said, well, man, you're like, man, you're a barbarian. They would accuse you of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You'd be accused of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And the person would be like, I don't make no sense to me. I can't understand none of that. Oh, that's holy. What are you saying? That's barbarism. You blaspheme the Holy Ghost. No, look what Paul says. If I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Brethren, what's caused this thing, what's happened here, is there's been, I'll say it again, I know I'm repeating myself, but it's this aura, this ooh, of spirituality. It's like, man, Sister so-and-so, she's holy. She's holy. Sister so-and-so, she's holy. And she, let me tell you something, usually Sister so-and-so, a lot of times, I don't say every time, she rules the roost too. She rules the roost. She's the power in that family. Let me tell you, she may look outwardly like she's got it together. She is not submissive. But she's looked at it like, man, she's really got, and you know, and there's fear. Fear. Because you speak against it, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you don't have God, you know. I'm serious. It's what's going on is not lining up with what you see right here. So watch what happens. Verse 12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, not thee, but an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, we don't have those gifts today. They've gone out. But let's suppose, look, even in the day that they were around, let's suppose someone had the gift of tongues. And perhaps they're, okay, in the book of Acts, Parthians, Medes. Let's suppose someone had the gift of speaking in the Median tongue. But they didn't understand it. They had the gift. They could do it at any time. They didn't have to get worked up. They could do it anytime. They could pray in that tongue if they wanted to. The problem is, they didn't know what they were saying. So Paul said, pray that you may interpret. Because it's not edifying you. Look at that. Look what Paul just said. If you do something, even if it was a legitimate gift, but you don't understand it, it doesn't matter how you may feel, you're not getting edified. Thus, edification is not about feeling. And churches today, even Baptists, run so often on feeling. I judge my edification based on how I feel. Feeling comes and goes, brethren. Feeling wavers, comes and goes. It's truth. It's truth. It's being able to lay hold of and onto truth. So look what he says. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Think about that. What if I stood up here and I prayed in Arabic? Or in French. All right? What if I fervently? Suppose I know the French language. Suppose I know what I'm praying. And I prayed to you right now in French earnestly. And you, based on my fervency, based merely on my emotion, said, amen. You didn't know what I said. Yeah, but I could tell you were sincere. I could tell it was earnest. But you don't know what I said. Please listen to this. Please listen to this. May God help us all. Because, brethren, I'm not talking charismatic. I'm talking about Baptist churches. Independent Baptist churches. Brethren, things run on emotion, especially a lot of times in independent Baptist. I'm telling you. And you know what? It's like, amen. Well said. And I'm sorry, brethren. I know everybody's different. But you're one of these deals and everybody's praying all the time. I can't handle it. And I've heard some people say, oh, I think it's great, man. I think it's great. I can't even get my thought together. I can't even get. And there's a rhythm that develops with it. I've seen people pick it up and do it because they feel like that's what they're supposed to do. And they'll just be, and everybody's all praying at one time. Everybody's all praying. And you see, I'll be honest with you, brother. A lot of times I'm like that. If I'm in a situation like that, you know, you're praying, I'm just kind of like, hey, Lord, I love you and you're good. And I just kind of wait for the thing to get over with. And I know somebody can say, well, let me ask something. Be careful. But are you liking a feeling? Are you liking the flow of an emotional event? Or are you really getting something? Is there true edification taking place? I'm serious, brethren. Look here. Watch this. Okay. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. See, it's about edification. If I stood up right now and prayed to you in French, though I understand exactly, maybe perhaps I know the French language, and I know what I'm saying. You can't base your amen on how sincere you think I am or how it just seemed. What was said? Yeah, but I tell you, it just felt right. You have no idea what was said. In order to get edified, in order to say amen and truth, you've got to be able to understand and grasp what was said. Look at verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, and where does tongues get done today? The church. I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Ask somebody, they leave out of a church where that gets done. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, I tell you, listen, I'm just stuff I've heard, right? It was just, sister so-and-so was laid out on the floor, and brother so-and-so was just laid out. There was. Well, what'd you get from that? Huh? What'd you get from that? What truth did you get from that? Oh man, it was just good. Man, the Lord just moved. What'd you learn? What'd you get taught? What did you learn, man? Nothing. I felt. Brethren, I know people right now who got family members. No evidence of salvation. Yea, quite verily the opposite. But they get their family member in church. Oh, man. She was just crying. And Lord's moving. And people say, and she was just bawling. And just no change. No new birth. I had an emotional experience. Y'all. And you know what? You tell somebody this in love, it hits them hard and they don't like it. Because that's upsetting their whole apple cart of how they've been raised, how their family is, and everything. And it's not an easy thing to accept. It's not. But brethren, it's what the Bible says, it's what the Bible shows us. And without it, somebody sets herself up for something dangerous. And this thing gets crazy. Brethren, look here. So the Lord, again, you don't find the phrase slain the spirit in the Bible. So God's going to do something where these ladies fall. And in some places, there's certain, listen, did you know some places there are designated catchers? And I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just trying to show designated catchers or people designated to cover them up. So the Lord's going to have you fall out to where you expose yourself. No, that's not. I mean, seriously. I'm serious. My brethren, but what happens is you get, but see, nobody's stopping to stop a minute and say, but what did I learn about God, myself, truth, sin? What did that do for me? And brethren, I'm not canceling out emotion, thank God for it, but it should not be the primary thing, and it should be coupled with truth. Right. With truth. All right, and watch, this should go on. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written. See, in the law, who is the law written to? The Jews. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto who? This people. What is this people? Jews. The Jews. The Jews. The gift of tongues was mainly for the Jewish people. Look, and yet for all that will the night hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Yet, who is tongues targeted to? Believers and churches. Yet when it was a real gift, the guidance from the Holy Ghost was, it was for unbelievers, specifically Jews. It wasn't a gift for the church. Watch this. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are what? Mad. And do you know what the response would be in a lot of cases? You blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Brethren, I guarantee you there are some Pentecostals to this day that are scared to death because they feel like they've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And they feel like something in their life because they don't have this gift or they don't see it. And it just takes them, and they're scared. They live in fear. They live in fear. The fear of the Lord, brethren, is not a crippling kind of fear. It's a reverential respect and awe of God, not that kind of thing. But they live in fear. They live in fear because I can't receive this, because I reject it, because I don't have it, something's wrong with me. And they live in a state of fear like that. We were talking about singing and by course and order. What happens when singing is like that? It's beautiful. It's a blessing. It's not a discordant noise. Well, if everybody stands up, brethren, and everybody's this, that, and the other, you are going to have confusion. You're going to have confusion and a mess. Watch this. Look here. Verse 24. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren? When ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Let me say this just a minute too, real quick. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue. You know what a lot of that speaks? You know what a lot of that screams out right there? Self. Me. 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 Well, you know, look, confusion. My Bible says this. My Bible says this. Or somebody says, well, I believe this. Well, I believe that. Well, my song or my special or my... See, it screams of self. The whole thing screams... Brethren, so often, may God help us to so judge ourselves that we stay humbled and broken before God, seeking to exalt Christ in Him alone. Brethren, in all this, it speaks and it smacks of self. And brother, even if tongues ain't involved, how many times in churches do things revolve around self? Self. Self. For me to be seen and lifted up and lauded. Verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue. If any who? Any man. Let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. In other words, in order, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him speak, keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, can you imagine, and I'm just being honest, brethren, I don't mean it sarcastically, I don't mean it at all. Can you imagine going into a church like that and saying, okay, before we start out, just want to go ahead and kind of take care of matters. We want to do things in an orderly manner here. Any men here, are there any men here that have the gift of tongues? Anyway, now, you're going to see some women get nervous. Just be honest. You see some women get nervous. They're going to be, any men... You probably have a lady stand up. Ma'am, sit down. Bible says men. Bible says men. Any men. Any men. You three fellas. Okay. All right. Does there interpreter here? Do we have anyone, guys? Anyone, any interpreter? I guarantee some people would say they do. They don't. But they would. Okay. All right. Sir, you go ahead. Don't happen. You interpret. So, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. You know why? Because, but the Bible says it right there. The Bible says that because you know what's being taken out of it? The emotional equation, the stir up, the sense. It's being taken out of the equation. In fact, there was a brother one time going down the street. This happened. And he ran into a fellow that was discussing with him about this thing about tongues. And he said, well, he was trying to tell him, you know, and when it was a gift, you could do it at any time. You didn't have to be. So he said, this brother knew a lot of languages. And he said to him, he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. And he started reeling off some Spanish and some this and that and the other. He wasn't being sarcastic. He did. What the other guy said, you're not in the spirit. Now, he was doing literally what was done there. It's just it wasn't by gift. He just knew those languages. But he said, you know what the problem was? There wasn't a lot of music around. It wasn't hyped up. It wasn't getting going. It wasn't getting. And brethren, listen. Let me tell you something. A lot of independent Baptist brethren who get on this thing about tongues and really blast it and really. Let me tell you something. You give them the right environment and they'd have fell right into it with no problem, bud. It's not because they have it so much together about knowing things. It's just, brethren, don't you ever go around and make fun of this or ridicule any of it or people involved in it. Let me tell you something. Very often the very same spirit of emotionalism and everything exist in Baptist churches, in Baptist, the very same things there. They've just not got caught up in that aspect of it. So, and I'm serious. And brethren, that's never the way to handle any kind of thing. And I'm going to tell you something, my heart breaks. I had a lady call to me on the phone one time. And she was discussing this matter with me. And I said, ma'am. And I just took her to the Bible. I just quoted her, and she started crying. And she said, because she couldn't, and she said, I just want to do right by God. And I know she did. And it hurt my heart for her so bad, you know. And brethren, it is so easy to get, this thing's real, brethren, a real battle. And it is so easy to get caught up in the air. We're dealing with a master of deception, all right. And brethren, I'm not saying that people are lost. I'm not saying that, just like in any case, you got some saved, some lost, all like that. But brethren, we've got to let the Word of God guide and direct us and try to be a help to people. If you ever get on your high horse and look down with a self-righteous attitude toward those maybe involved in that, you better be careful. Because I want to tell you something, you're liable to find the same spirit abides within you in some matter, just manifested in a different way. The Bible speaks of considering our own self lest we be tempted also. And so the point I'm making to you, though, is, brother, the reason I went on this with it, that singing was by course. There's order. There's harmony to it. Tongues, when it was done, order and harmony to it. Not confusion. You know something? And I'll say this. Brethren, anything we do, y'all. Boy, Lord, help us. Do you know what happens in churches today, brethren? In all churches. Doesn't matter what. It is too easy to fall prey to emotion. Thank God for emotion rather than truth. Look here. Have you ever been in a situation in a church, or this has happened, I went to prison, that I've sat to where I never heard a word of the song? I don't think anybody could understand sometimes the words. But boy, God was moving. How do you know? You can't even understand words. And words speak things. Brethren, in a meeting, if things get so loud and rowdy that you can't hear words, how good is that? Think about it. if things get going so that you can't even, why, you know what? Somebody could slip in and say anything. Seriously. And you know what you're saying amen to. See, brethren, rather than concentrating on a Bible way of preaching and teaching, what has fallen prey to a lot of independent Baptists is a southern way of preaching and teaching. A mountain way of preaching and teaching. And we look at that, that's looked at as being holy and powerful. I'm serious. You're supposed to have a certain inflection. You're supposed to have a certain rhythm. Why? If you don't work up a sweat, why? Who can call that preaching? Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Look at the Savior. We all got different personalities. That's fine and great. I'm for intensity myself. But brethren, look here. When someone, and I've known of people, and brethren, the thing of it is, usually, their lives are in a fix. But you know what? Wow, how can you call that preaching? Them hard to break a sweat. Then he's like, but boy, if you can get in a rhythm, you can get, we're hearing it now. We're hearing it now. What about truth? Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Look at how the Savior did. Look at Paul. Look at Peter. Look at them. Look at how you see their brethren. They understood. More than just emotion, it was truth and God bearing witness to truth. Look in the book of Nehemiah. Ezra stood upon that pulpit of wood. They gave the sense and the understanding. But you know what happens very often today? It turns on a thing about emotion. I'm not discounting emotion. Thank God we're not robots. Thank God for emotion. I'm thank God for that. But it should and must be coupled with truth. And if you just key totally on emotion, you can get slipped something that is not true and a counterfeit. And the devil's a master at it. Evans Roberts, when he documented what took place in the revival that swept through Wales, he also documented the dangerous things that took place because since the Lord was moving, people were turning to God. They didn't know quite how to handle things at times, and they opened themselves up to excess and things that the enemy really got into. Brethren, understand, your enemy has been in the throne. He's been there. He knows. And spiritual things are his specialty. The key that we've got to have is always, what saith the Scriptures? What saith the Scriptures? Letting the Word of God be our God. Brethren, never, never with a haughty attitude of looking at other churches, groups, or people, or anybody and saying, I can't believe that. But for the grace of God, and who knows where we may be in error our own self. Considering our own self, always, but striving to try to let that book be our true God in all matters. Let's pray. Father, Lord, sure a lot more time, Lord, spent on this subject than thought would be or even really intended to be, Father. Just this thing about, I did want to comment a little bit on it, Lord, but concerning order and harmony and by course. But Lord, I feel you had a reason for it. Father, help us, dear God, to see these things. But Lord, oh Father, help us to not be so foolish as to ever sit back and think that we have arrived at some station or we, you know, oh Lord, who knows where we may be in error in our own lives or things need to be tweaked at or, dear God, help us. Help us. Father, the only thing that is sure and certain is you and your word. And Father, we have you in us. We have your spirit if we're saved. And we, Lord, we can know the things we ought to know. And oh Father, help us to do so, but with the right attitude and the right spirit. Guide us. Direct us and help us, Father. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.